shouldn't, because I wanted to walk this morning. So, alrighty. For a message this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says this way: "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Notice how it says this here. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate." What does he mean by saying, "Enter ye in at the strait gate"? It's talking about a gate that is restricted. There's restrictions to this gate. It's straight. It's restricted. Not just anybody can get into this gate. Then it says, "Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few," sad, "few there be that find it." Okay, as you can see, I guess up, yes, there it is. I'd like to briefly go over this. Man passes through four basic stages in life. We all began as little babies. Infancy. Then it's childhood. Then the next one is adolescence. And then adulthood. And as we can see up there in Ecclesiastes 3, in verse 2, it tells us that there's a time to be born and that there's a time to die. We're all going to die. That should be a sobering thought to us this morning. It is to me. We're all going to die. And probably because of my age, I might not have too many more years left. I would like to live till I'm 100 years old, but probably not. I'd have just a little over 30 years to go. Now you know how old I am. But yeah, there's a time to die. Okay, we need to go on here. Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We start on the road that you can see up ahead here. Children are safe under the provisions that God has provided by Jesus Christ. But a time does come in life, and generally it's in the adolescent stage. Maybe between, it's different for, it's not same for everybody. Maybe between the ages of 12 and 14, the adolescent will come to a place in his life, in her life, when they realize that they have sinned and they are guilty before God. They have come to a place where they realize that there's right and there's wrong. We call that, now it slipped my mind, to the place in our life when we are accountable to God. We are no longer innocent. We come to the place where there is a crossroads. And we see the cross there. The place where Jesus died. Where provision has been made for each one of us. And for everybody that has ever lived or will live upon the face of the earth. Jesus made provision. He died there. He gave his blood. So you and I, by faith in that, what he did, what was accomplished at the cross, if we have faith in him, in the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven for our sins. They can be totally wiped away. The Bible is real clear, and it tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When that happens or transpires in our life, then we have been born again. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We stand there at the cross. We behold what took place there. And you can see there's two roads. Jesus himself is standing at the one, and Satan, our enemy, is at the other one. In Matthew 6:24, let me notice that. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. And there are two masters. There is God and there is Satan. There is Jesus and there is Satan. And that's what you can see up above here at the road. There is Jesus standing at the entrance of the road that leads to heaven. And according to Matthew 11, he is saying, come unto me. I will accompany you on the road to heaven. But we also have our enemy. He is standing at the other gate. And he is trying to convince everybody that it's not necessary. That's a restricted road. You know, it says it's straight. There's restrictions. You can't just take anything with you on that road. Come over here. My road is wide and it's easy to travel. And you don't have to get rid of your burden. You don't have to get rid of your sin. You could do exactly what you want to do. The main activity of Satan is simply this, trying to blind the people so they will not go in at the road that leads to heaven. And I would say he's doing a pretty good job this morning. The majority of the people on the face of the earth are not, according to what the Bible says, are not traveling the road that leads to heaven. Sadly, as God's people in the Old Testament, the Jews, they forgot God. They still had a lot of their rituals. They still had all their rules that they were keeping. And expecting that if they keep all these rules, if they do all these things, we will be okay. This morning, the word of God, I understand it to say that it's not perfection. It's not things on the outside. It's grace. Only by the grace of God. Our heart needs to be changed. The Bible tells us, I think it is in Psalms maybe 9, verse 17, something like that. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. How do we explain that? The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations, may I add, and all the individuals that forget God. Now, I don't believe that there's anybody here that has forgotten God. We know who he is. We have been taught that. Most of us have been taught that from our youth, and we have not forgotten God. We know who he is. We have forgotten God in the sense that we are not willing to give up. We can still be religious. We can still follow some rules, thinking that we're okay. But the Bible tells us very clearly that unless we are born again, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember Nicodemus? He was one of those men that he was studied, and yet he came to Jesus. He came at night because he was afraid of what his peers were going to say. So he came to Jesus by night and he asked him, "What must I do to enter the kingdom of God?" Something like that. And the answer is very clear that he got from Jesus. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Way too many rely on other things, on good works, on doing this or on doing that, and that will get us into heaven. It will not happen. Unless we are born again, we will miss out. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the people that forget God, all the people that are not willing to take up the cross, deny themselves and follow Jesus on a daily basis, the road that leads to heaven. In Luke 13, let me see, what does that verse say? Luke 13, strive to enter into the kingdom or into the gate, the narrow road. Strive. We need to make diligent and honest efforts on a daily basis, lest we will fail or miss out. Statistics tell us that youth is a time of life when most people become Christians. Youth is that time. The reason for that, you notice that white point before the cross and below it, it says point of redemption. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Good. So you probably have seen that. There is a point of redemption at Niagara Falls. I'm not sure how far it is back from the falls, but there is a point of redemption, and they have a cable from one side of the river all the way over to the other one. Just in case somebody is out there fishing or in their boat or swimming, and because of the tremendous undercurrent, it's pulling them towards the falls. So it's called a point of redemption, and they have that cable strung across there just in case somebody does get caught in that undercurrent, that they can hang on to the cable and somebody will come and get them. That is exactly the way it is in real life. If you keep on pushing God off, you know what the scripture says. You know what Jesus provided, and yet you push it off, and you push it off, and you cross the red line again and again because of the tremendous undercurrent and the pressure that is in the world. You go beyond the point of redemption, the point of no return. You go over the falls. Dear young people, and for all of us that are here this morning, may God help us to not go beyond that point. If the Spirit of God speaks to your life and you know what you need to do, just simply be humble, be honest. The Bible is very clear, and it tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And unless we repent and cry out to God for forgiveness for our sins, we will go beyond the point of redemption. So there's the cross. We have Jesus there. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. All of us that are burdened with sin. Ungodly living. Come unto me. He promises to help us. To bless us. And most of all, what I like about it, Jesus promises to take our hand and go with us. Satan is on the other road. And according to, I think it is in 2 Corinthians, maybe verse 11, it says that Satan is transformed, or he transforms himself as an angel of light. But again, his main activity is trying to get the people convinced that there's nothing wrong with his road. It's a little wider, but it's okay, and you can handle your own life. You can do what you want to, and there's not going to be any bad end results. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There are going to be bad end results. The difference in the two roads, maybe there isn't just all that much difference. The one is wider, the other is narrower. The one goes up and the other gradually goes down. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and the Word of God tells us that as well, that the difference is at the end of the road. The difference is at the end of the road. According to Matthew 24:13, Jesus tells us, he that endures unto the end shall be saved. If we are faithful to God, if we are faithful to practice the teachings that we have in this book, the teachings of Jesus Christ, we are faithful unto the end, we shall be saved, the Bible tells us. Either when we die or when Jesus comes back again, we will have eternal life, but we must experience that here this morning. If we want to live with God in heaven, then we need to live with him here. We get to heaven, and the Bible tells us in Revelation 22 that there will be no tears there. No sickness. There will be no burdens. You know, we experience those things here. Life is tough. We get sick. We have burdens. We shed tears because of things that happen, because of sin and ungodliness and all the injustice that goes on here in life. And yet, we can live beyond that. We need to live beyond that here in this life. And when we get to heaven, all that will pass away. It will be eternal bliss. I believe Jesus himself is going to be standing at the door when we get there. And he's going to say, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Welcome into the glories of heaven." Okay, going back to the other road. Satan has transformed himself as an angel of light. But the scripture does tell us in Proverbs 13 that the way of the transgressor is hard. That's exactly the way it is. You know, thinking about handling our own life and doing exactly what we want to do, that sounds pleasing, doesn't it? Doing just exactly what we want to do, giving vent to our carnal desires, just doing what we want to do. Well, Satan says, that's okay. You're okay. You can repent later on if you want to. There's so many things that go on there. There's lying, there's cheating, there's divorce and remarriage. I have a little book at home. And it has a picture of a 15-year-old boy. He has a faraway look in his eyes. Under the picture says, "My name is Joey, I'm 15. He says, "I live with my mom. But," he said, "this is my third mom. And I've had five dads. I've lived in 10 different cities." And he said, "I'm confused. I really don't know who I am." That is what Satan offers. That is where we might end up if we don't heed what the scripture says this morning. Poor Joey, there's drunkenness, lying, stealing, pornography, homosexuality, it's all there. There's room for every bit of it. But notice what it says there. Well, I guess that's not up there. The way of the sinner is hard. You might give vent to all those pleasures. Wrong attitudes. Somebody treats you wrong. You want to take revenge on that person, or vengeance. There's room for all of that. Satan allows it. You can do it. He doesn't care. But the end result is eternity in hell. That's what the Bible tells us. In Joshua 24:15, it says, "Choose ye this day who you will serve." You remember that story in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. There were struggles then like we have today. God's special people were disobedient again. They crossed the red line to the left. Joshua's heart was burdened for his people. Because of the direction that they were going, they were not taking heed to what God had told them, to what Joshua was trying to teach them. And I can imagine Joshua going back to his family, to his wife and his children, his sons and daughters, and sitting down with them and telling them, explaining them exactly how the situation was, and asking them, I don't know what her name was. Let's call her Sarah. "Sarah, you know the situation where we're at. Look at where so many of these people are headed. They are not taking heed. They're thick-headed. They're not obeying." And then he said, "Johnny and Emily and the rest of the children, what shall we do?" He said, "As for me, I'm going to serve God. Will you stand with me?" And they said, "Yes, Daddy." If they want to go that way, I guess they must just go. We are willing to stand with you. So he got up and faced the people, the multitude of people, And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to serve other gods and turn your back on the God of heaven, that's up to you. Our choice is made. I, along with my family, we will serve God. And then he gave them the opportunity. He said, choose who you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites? Or are you going to serve the God of heaven? This morning, a lot of us have made our choice to be faithful to God. Difficult as it might be, who are you going to choose to serve? Are you going to choose God? Are you going to be humble enough to say, I'm a sinner, I need help. I want to get to heaven. The decision is up for you, up to you. You can lead a horse or a cow or a sheep to the water to drink, but we cannot make them drink. We cannot force that water down their throat. Again and again, I meet up with that on a daily basis at prison. And I present the gospel to those men behind the bars, one cell after the next. And I tell them, but the choice is yours. I'm not here to push anything down your throat. You will personally have to make the choice to follow Jesus Christ. A lot of them do. But there's others, when I come to their cell and tell them what I am here for, they say, thank you, we're not interested. Okay, God bless you, and I go to the next one. The choice is yours. Will you choose Jesus Christ this morning? Or are you going to go on in your own pernicious ways, in your sinful ways? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, I think it is, verses 6 and 7. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What does that indicate? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That is indicating and telling us this morning that the day is going to come when it's forever too late. We need to choose and make our decision for God. Years ago, living way back in the sticks in Central America, I put a sign up on a tree on our farm. Said, Jesus is coming again. Prepare yourself. That sign was there for many, many, many a year. And then one day we had a strong wind and the tree blew down along with a sign that I had nailed to it. And the neighbors mocked us about that. They mocked me about that. Look, all those years as the sign was up there, now the wind blew the tree over and there it is laying down and Jesus never did come back. That was 40 some years ago. But I'm here to tell you, he is coming back. He will come back. And the scripture tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account to God for our lives. Are you ready? Have you prepared? Have you been born again? Has Jesus transformed that dirty, sinful heart into a fleshly and a soft heart? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus this morning? Are you willing to make that choice? The Bible tells us that in the place called hell, there's going to be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a crying, a weeping. You remember the story that we have, I think it's in Luke, is it Luke 16 or maybe Luke 19, where it talks about the rich man and the beggar. And what happened there, I'm sure you know this story. Lazarus died and he was taken, how does it say, by the angels into Abraham's bosom, something like that. But it also says that the rich man died. And he found himself in a place of torment. A place of torment. And he cried out, asking for a drop of water to cool his tongue. Can you tell me this morning, what would a drop of water do in hell, writhing in those flames? But he was begging and asking for a drop of water. If he would have only taken heed when there was an opportunity. And I believe one of the biggest regrets is going to, for the people that will end up in hell, is going to be the thought that we could have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and we rejected. We were going to wait till tomorrow. Or we were going to wait until 12 o'clock, but at quarter till 12, you died. All opportunity for becoming a Christian and going to heaven is lost forever. One thing about the flames or the fire in hell, the Bible does tell us that there's going to be darkness in hell. Can you explain to me how there's going to be flames there and it's going to be dark? I don't get it. But that's what the scripture says. God can make that happen. God will make that happen. It's going to be a dark place. There's going to be no children there. I love children. We love our children. We have 10. We have 31 grandchildren. We have one great granddaughter. We love our children. In hell, there's not going to be any children there. They're all going to be in heaven. You know, of all the abortions that are taking place today, I think there's, if I remember right, there's a number of thousands every day in the United States that are aborted. They're killed. They're all going to be in heaven. Where are you going to be? Where do you want to be? I want to be in heaven. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Revelations 21. Revelations 21, verse 8. It says this way, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and who else? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Are you living a lie? Maybe you don't say it. Maybe you don't say lies. Maybe you're always truthful. But if your life is not what it needs to be, you profess to be something, and yet on the inside you're something different. It's a lie. All liars are going to hell. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. It's going to be dark. There's going to be crying, screaming, crying out for mercy. But alas, shall we close that curtain and leave that behind us? And may we choose the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Again, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will end up in hell. As for me and my house, and I don't know where you're at this morning, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to serve the gods of self, the gods that are available today, not only on the outside of these doors, they can be on the inside. If you want to serve those gods, the choice is yours. But by doing so, you are choosing your destiny. Can this young lady, can you tell me, if you plant a seed of corn, what do you harvest? Amen. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. If you live an ungodly life, you're going to have an ungodly ending. You're going to get to an ungodly place. And it's real. Oh, that we might cry out to God for mercy and for grace, for forgiveness of our sins, our wickedness. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the people that forget God. You know, opportunities arise. We know what we should do, but we just simply fail to make the choice. That is forgetting God.